Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Now, you're probably going to follow me in King James, but I'm going to read it from the New Living Testament because I just like the way it brings it out just a little bit more. Okay, Psalm 91. Let's go to verse 1 here and let's read this. It says this. It says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Now, I want you to see that. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, if your life is fixed in Jesus, you can have peace in your life. Come on, peace, that's where you get your rest from. He says, "This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. For He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation." Man, you talk about a promise from God right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let me just ask you this question, okay? Is God your refuge? See, that's the thing we've got to get it set up. Is God our refuge? Is God our fortress, the King James says. See, a fortress is a stronghold. It's a place of safety. It's a place that the enemy cannot manipulate or influence you. See, you have to make sure that you're in that place in God to where even though the enemy's attacking, you can be in that place and you don't have to worry about it. You can have peace right in the middle of an onslaught. Come on now. You see, so that's why the psalmist is saying, he said, listen, He's my place of safety. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's the place that I can go to when the enemy starts raging. Amen. So see, that's getting that peace with God. That's knowing that God has got my back. And did you notice that? He says, if we love God, He'll take care of us. He's our protection. He's our safety. Now, when we start looking at that, we understand. See, because you've got to understand that the biggest thing the enemy wants to try to do, really, is to distract you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen. And here's the thing, what the enemy tries to do, if he can't come at you one way, he'll try to come at you a different way. Come on. See, the devil probably knew, I told this to the praise team this morning, the devil probably knew that he couldn't get to Adam. So he used Eve. And Eve then got to Adam. You see, so what the devil will do a lot of times, he'll try to come through other avenues to try to get to you. But if you make God your refuge, if you settle yourself on the Word and get the peace of God because you know God's in your life and you're in Him, then you can the things that try to come at you, because the devil's biggest weapon is to try to inject thoughts, to try to get you to dwell, try to get you to think, to try to take your peace away from you. But Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. Not peace like the world gives, but my peace I give to you. So you have to make sure that you find that place in God to where you can just chill out, man. Chill out. Don't worry about what anybody's saying, anybody's doing, whatever. You know that you're good in God. If you know that you're good in God, man, you talk about there's no place like that. When you know what God has called you to do, and you know where you're supposed to be, and you're doing what you're supposed to do, then it don't matter what the devil thinks about it. Amen. Think about it. I'll give you an example. Remember in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah got a message from, and he heard that this Jerusalem had been burned down. And when he heard how the shape of that Jerusalem was and all, it just broke his heart. They'd been taken captivity, and Nehemiah was actually serving the king. And he was his cupbearer. And after he had heard about that, first thing he did was he sought the Lord. He started talking to God about it and letting God know his heart. God, what you want me to do? You know, And so Nehemiah's heart was, I want to go fix that. I want to go repair all of that. It's not right that the house of God be tore down like that. And so Nehemiah goes before the king, and he can't help, it's on his heart, it's on his mind, so apparently his countenance is sad. And the king looks at him, he says, there's something wrong with you. I've never seen you like this. You're not sick, but your heart's broken. What's going on? And Nehemiah tells him all about it. And he says, well, what would you like to do? He said, I'd like to go back and build it back. And he said, how long you think it'd be? And he said, give me some time to figure it up. And once he figured it up, he also asked the king, he said, would you mind writing letters so that everything will get supplied? The king supplied everything, made sure that everything was supplied to fix it back. Nehemiah goes up. When he comes in, people hear about it. Somebody's here, they're sending somebody. They think they're going to build back the walls of this. And they laugh at them. You know, they can't do that. What do they think they're trying to do? What's he think he's trying to do? But Nehemiah doesn't tell him. See, you don't tell the whole plan of God. Only way the enemy knows anything is if you speak it out of your mouth. He's not omnipresent. So he don't know. Can I prove that to you from Scripture? Let me just give you a little sidetrack, okay? I'm running a rabbit trail. It's not in my notes, okay? Jesus was born. And the king asked the wise men, what's going on? And they say, we've heard there's a king of the Jews has been born. And the king says, you go find him and come back and tell me where he's at because I want to worship him. Lie. Lie. The devil's always lying. Remember that. He's the father of lies. So the devil's always a liar. No matter what it looks like on face value, there's a lie behind the devil. And so they go and God tells them, go back and tell him where he's at. Okay? Now, you had to know that Herod's being influenced by the devil because he wants to kill Jesus. He wants to kill this new king that's been born. He gets mad because they don't go tell him. And because the devil don't know who Jesus is, every child from 2 years old below gets killed because he's trying to wipe out Jesus. But he can't find Jesus. Okay, Jesus walks on the earth till he's about 30 years old. Okay, he doesn't do any miracles. Despite the books you've read, according to the Word of God, the wedding in Cana is his first miracle when he turned water to wine. All those this time, the devil does not try to do a thing to Jesus. He's not trying to kill him. He's a carpenter. He's a carpenter's son. But all of a sudden, John the Baptist is baptizing folks, the forerunner of Jesus. He's baptizing folks. And he's down there in the water. And he points and says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And from that time on, they sought to take his life. You know why? Because now the devil knew who Jesus was. The Son of God was on the earth. And he started from that point on manipulating people to try to kill Jesus and take him out. Up until that point he didn't know because he don't know. So when it comes to your life, if you would keep your mouth shut sometimes. I'm saying that in love in the nicest way. But a lot of your problems come because you speak them out of your mouth and the devil says, uh-huh, so that's what gets to them. Uh-huh, that's how I can get in. Because you tell him. Okay? So Nehemiah goes up there and he don't tell the plan. He goes around, looks at everything by night, and he sees everything that needs to be done. And then he only gets those he can trust around him. And he tells them, the leaders and those, this is what God sent me up here to do. This is what our heart is to do. And they said, it sounds like a good thing. Let's do it. And so then that went from there, and they took people that they trust, and it spread out, and they began to work and began to rebuild. Well, of course, the devil had a fit. So now the enemy rears up his head and says, what do they think they're doing? They think they can build that back. And one of them speaks up and says, well, you know, if a fox jumped up on that, he'd knock it down. See, they're trying to ridicule what they're doing, but they're doing what God's telling them to do. So how many knows it ain't going to fall? Amen. Amen. They begin then to threaten them. You keep doing that, we're going to come after you. Nehemiah just says, arm yourselves. They come, you'll be ready. Blow the horn, we'll come help you. They just keep right on built. They don't see. Here's the thing: the enemy's trying to get Nehemiah to quit, trying to get him to stop. Some of the families get over in fear, and he just tells them, "Don't get in fear. Just get yourself armed, get yourself ready, and be ready. We're here to help you." They start saying lies about them. They send a message and say, "We're going to tell the king that you're doing this and you're trying to overthrow his kingdom and all that." And Nehemiah said, "I ain't got time for that foolishness. I ain't got time for your lies." And they just keep building on the walls. They keep building things back. And then finally they send a message to him. "Would you come down here and talk to us? We need to talk to you." Nehemiah said, "I'm too busy building the wall back to come down. I ain't got time for your foolishness. I've got a job to do for God." And in all that, Nehemiah never quit the task that God had given him. He stayed with it no matter what they said, no matter what they did. And guess what? They built the wall. They built it back and they saw that it was good. And then they began to celebrate and worship and praise God. See, you have to stay on task. You cannot allow the enemy to try to pull you away from what God wants you to do. Amen. You know, they've been things that have come against us ever since we've been a church. See, the devil hates us. You've got to understand that the devil hates our church because our church is a word of faith church. We preach the whole Word of God. We preach the power of God. We preach the miracles of God. We preach the healing of God. We preach the full gospel of the Word of God. Now, see, here's the thing. What did Jesus defeat the devil with? The Word. Remember? It is written. So why do you think the enemy would come so hard? Because he hates us. They've always hated us. We've always been called a cult. We've always been called this and we've been called that. But we're coming up on 26 years now. Multiple souls saved. Healings taking place. Miracles. God has... And the enemy sets back and he's going, I just don't understand that. I don't understand how they keep going because, you know, that place is a cult. And they don't know the power of God. They wouldn't know the power of God if it looked them in the face. They've never experienced the power of God. "Well, I can't understand why anybody want to go up there." Try it. You might like it. Right? Come and get in the presence of God and quit being a backslider and a slanderer and a liar, and come and let the real Holy Ghost get on the inside of you and see what happens. I promise you, the Holy Ghost will change your life. Amen. So see, we've got to continue to stand solid no matter what things go on. And we're going to do that. We're going to continue doing what God's called us to do. We've never stopped since we started. And people have driven by and shaking their head and saying, "What in the world they think they're doing? What they can't do that." Well, see, here's the thing about it. People that say they can't do that are usually people that don't want to do that. And the people that know that God can do it, they just go ahead and do it anyway, even though people are saying it can't be done. Come on, isn't that right? And so you have to just stay with the Word, stay with the Lord Jesus Christ, and get done what God wants you to do. Nehemiah refused to allow any of things that happened to keep him from doing what God wanted him to do. Listen to what Nahum says, God is serious business. This is the Message Bible. God is serious business. He won't be trifled with. He avenges his foes. He stands up against his enemies, fierce and raging. Nehemiah knew that if he let the trivial things affect him, he wouldn't get done what he needed to do. See, that's why you've got to keep your eyes on the Word, keep your eyes on Jesus. You remember Peter over in Matthew 14, I believe it is, Matthew 14. Do you remember Peter and the disciples? Jesus is there, has been there. He tells them to go over to the other side, and he's got some business to take care of, and he'll get up with them. And so they're out there in the night trying to get to the other side, and here comes something walking on the water. Now, when they look first, they think it's a ghost. You know, they get afraid, and Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it's me. It's me." And Peter's there and said, "Lord, if that's you, let me come to you. Bid me to come to you." And the Bible says that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. He gets a bad rap a lot of times. I know Peter was kind of different, you know. But he gets out of the boat and walks on water. Come on now. Jesus is not the only person that ever walked on water. Peter walked on water. And the Bible says he's walking on the water toward Jesus, but then he gets his eyes off Jesus. And he starts seeing the wind and all the things that's going on around him, and the Bible said he began to sink. And Jesus grabbed him and lifted him up, brought him back into the boat. What am I trying to tell you? As long as Jesus was there and Peter had his eyes on him, he didn't sink. He walked on water. It wasn't until he took his eyes off of Jesus that he began to sink. So see, you have to stand solid. You have to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You can't let the storms going on around you. You can't let what the world's doing around you affect you. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You have to stay on task if you want to walk on water. If you want to be successful in the kingdom of God, you can't let little things bother you. Did you hear me? You can't let distractions bother you. You stay walking on the water with Jesus. You stay on task with Jesus. And you'll be able to accomplish whatever He wants you to accomplish. Amen. You see that and you see these kind of things all the time where people get carried away with things that are said here, things that are done, whatever. But here's the thing. If it's not backed up by the Word of God, then it's not God.
That's right.
And if it's not God, you stay away from it.
That's right.
The only thing you go after are the things of God. And as long as you're going after the things of God, then you will be all right. You'll be safe. You'll be in refuge with Him. Listen, go with me over to 2 Timothy here. Let me show you something. 2 Timothy. Let me get over there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to go ahead and read this whole chapter because I want you to see this. Here's what Paul writes to Timothy, a young pastor that the folks are giving him problems there. He's a younger man and there's older folks there that are trying to give him hassle. And Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him. He said, "This know also," verse 1, "that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." I said despisers of those that are good. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth of the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. You see that? All the persecutions, he said, but out of all them he delivered me. He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that of a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice what Paul says. You could just write that about today. Right? That scripture applies today. You look at the world today and the things that are going on in the world, and all that applies to today. You know why it does? You know why Paul could write it then and why he could write it now? Same devil. Same devil doing the same things. He ain't smart enough to know he's already been defeated. Come on now. He just don't know. So he keeps doing the same things over and over. And it's up to you whether you fall for it or not. Notice that he said that there was some of them that they could just... The devil can just take them captive at his will. Do anything he wants to. But then he said there's those that they know the scriptures. They know what they've learned. They know what the word says. And so God takes care of that. And so that's what you and I have to do. We've got to understand what's happening, what's coming. When this, and I'll talk about it a little bit. That'll help some people. When this thing started, I told them right off the bat, this is not about a person. This is about an attack on our church. That's what it is. Okay. We've been accused of everything that you could possibly be accused of. Yep. Now you're sitting here, and so I don't know where I should or not. Yeah, I'll say this. This church has never given a penny toward anybody's bond. Okay? That way we got a record, because I know they're watching today, because they're looking for anything that they can take crossways and all that, because that's just what they do. So officially record, the church has never went anybody's bond, including Matthew's. Okay, and Matthew don't care. He knows. We have never condoned any kind of sexual immorality. Never. Okay? Never condoned it. No matter what the lies say. We do believe, because we're Americans, that any person that's accused of a crime, no matter what the crime is innocent until proven guilty. But you got to understand, if they can do it to a former sitting president, if they can just make accusations and try to indict and charge whatever, they'll do it to anybody they want to. Sometimes you need to look up what it takes to get somebody indicted by a grand jury, and you're going to blow your mind. Because they don't have to have evidence. Look it up yourself. Just got to have accusations and accusations and popular opinion, and they can do what they want to pretty well. Okay. But we've never been a part of it. And see, what kind of blows your mind is how they can take, and yes, Matthew is a member of this church. But because Matthew's a member of this church, you're all guilty. Because we show love. And we believe, now you know, trial's coming up. If Matthew's found guilty, I'm just like everybody else, full extent of the law. I'm saying that, yes, from the pulpit. But here's the thing. Will they admit, when he's found not guilty, that he's not? Now, let me clarify one thing. I just really didn't plan on doing most of this, but I just, you know, you just, after a while, you just need to shut the devil up. You know? There just comes that time, and you know, and I'm telling you, just stay on the word, okay? Just stay on the word, and that's what we're doing. But we're setting some records straight right here, okay? Because of the things that have been said and whatever. Of course, one of the things they've been said, and we're micing, so I don't know if you know they may have had to shut it off by now. I don't know because people probably trying. But here's the thing. They have said that we took up a special offering for the bond. Now, would you please answer my question so that they can hear? Have we ever taken up an offering for anybody's bond in this church?
No.
Thank you very much. Just setting the record straight. Okay. So here's the thing, folks. We're just going to stay with the word. Okay. Just stay with, let the heathen rage, the Bible says, and let the people imagine vain things. We'll stay with the truth. God will bless us. And I'm telling you, God's got some mighty great things in store for this church. The devil's fighting too hard to try to come against us. And I'm telling you, we're seeing time and time again, we're seeing God just come in, take over, and do his thing, because that's what we're going to let him do. So, perilous time. He says, well, come. And people are going to lie. They've made up lies that I couldn't even imagine. I don't know how you make up lies like that. They've taken other cases and tried to tie them to our church. I don't know any of these people. But I know the devil. And I recognize the devil when I see the devil. So I just want to set that straight, okay? And I want you to make sure that you just stay with the word. Just stay with the word. People will say, well, you know. Well, I don't know any more than anybody else does. And I'm glad. And so when you see somebody get on there and say, well, I know. Well, tell me how you know. Nobody else does. I know. No, you don't. You're lying. Or you believe in a lie. You want to know what I know? This is the truth I know. And this truth will stand when the world's on fire. Okay? I do know that there's a devil trying to destroy our country with everything that he can try to do. And it flows right on down. But now here's the thing. I'm gonna finish with this. I didn't mean to do all that, but it's okay. Maybe that'll shut up some folks. It probably won't. See, that's the thing. People kept saying, why won't they make an official statement? Won't they make a statement? Because they won't believe it. No way. They don't want to believe the truth. A lie's juicier. Right? That's what they want. They want lies and whatever, you know, and stuff like that. But here's the thing. We're just going to stay on track with the Word of God. And we're going to go ahead and do what God wants us to do. Okay? Now, here's where your problem comes in. It's whether or not you choose to believe lies or not. See, the thing about a lie is not just hurting the person that tells the lie, but it's hurting the person that hears the lie and believes the lie. And you know, what's so unfortunate is people like to believe lies. So be careful about the lies you believe, the comments you make on somebody's lies or on their post or whatever, because if you don't know, you best keep your mouth shut. Come on. But I you know, and I really didn't want to get there, but I feel better now. Some of y'all do too. Just We just put the truth out there so we'll see how they handle the truth. And I'm sure there'll be all kinds of chaos again. You know, they'll have little clips of me again. You know, they're doing what they want to make, try to make me say what they want me to say. But you've heard the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth today. Okay. Now, here's what the Bible says. Jesus talking, he says, the people, he says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord to me is going to heaven. He says, but they that do the will of my Father. He that listens and does my word is like a man that digs his foundation down to the rock. And he builds on the rock. I think it's Matthew comes in and says, he digs deep and finds the rock. And he said he builds his house and makes his foundation on the rock. And the winds come, the rains come, it's blowing, it's flooding, it's raining. But it says the house stands because it's founded on the rock. But he says a foolish man, he builds his house on the sand. He puts his foundation on, there's nothing to stand on. There's no rock there to support the house. The same winds come, the same rains come, and it destroys the house. It's important you keep your foundation on the rock. And don't let the devil try to get you to build on sand, because sand won't hold up. It eventually will give way. Stay on the rock, church. Just keep believing God. Watch what God does. Don't get caught up in all the drama the devil likes to pull. Right? Come on, you got to see the devil's in works, okay? Jesus didn't do anything wrong. Jesus didn't do a thing. Yet when Pilate came out and said, I'm going to release somebody today. You want me to release Jesus to you? Because he knew he hadn't done anything. And they said, no, give us Barabbas. And he goes back and talks to Jesus and said, what's going on? How come that? He said, if you knew who he was, he's talking to you. And then he begins to talk about truth. He says, well, what is truth? And he goes back out and says, listen, I can't find any fault in this man. I'm just going to let him go. And they said, no. Give us the man that's committed murder. Give us Barabbas. Well, what do you want me to do with Jesus? Crucify him. Same devil. Doing the same kinds of things. I'm just going to say this because it makes people mad. Okay, and this might make some of you mad. I hope it don't. Right now, our country is probably about as bad a shape as it's ever been. And there's still people out here hollering, we want to keep Barabbas. Now, I'm not saying Trump's Jesus by any mind. No. But he does love his country. And he didn't try to destroy it. So now you know. You can be mad at me if you want to, but I love you. And all I want is a country that once again people love Jesus. They love one another. You can find a job if you want a job. And I understand there's jobs some right now, but the trouble is if you make no matter how much money you make an hour or whatever you make a week, when you go to the grocery store you just turn around and give it to them. You know, and so, we got into some things, but, you know, I feel like as a leader, sometimes you just got to tell some truths. And because people, I'm just saying what a lot of you already know. But most time people won't say anything because there's always the persecution that comes. Well, you know, it's okay. I love Jesus more than I love anything else in the world. I want you to know that. I love the people that are watching. But I don't love what they do and the person that's influencing them. Jesus and God, let me tell you, if you're watching, God loves you. He died. Jesus died for you. And you need to remember that. Because one of these days, you're going to have to bow before Him and call Him Lord. And it could be too late. Do it before it's too late. Will you stand with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know the things that we've spoken are truths today. Lord, we just ask you now, Father God, that you, Lord, let that standard be raised up. And Father, I thank you that this people recognizes and knows the word and knows to stand on that word. They're built on the foundation of God. I pray, Father, anybody watching, Lord, that you would just, if they're saved, bless them. If they're not saved, convict them, Lord. Show them that they need you in their life more than anything else. And Father, we just thank you for your favor, for your blessing in this congregation, in this house, Lord. And we just give you glory for it all. It's because of you that this place exists. It's because of you that we exist. And we acknowledge that because it's all about you. Now, Father, I pray, Lord God, for anybody, Lord, right now that doesn't know you, that your convicting power, the Holy Ghost, will move upon hearts and they'll turn their life to Jesus and you'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, everybody receives that. Say, amen. Amen. Is there anybody?